Perek Dalev Mishnah Ches until Perek Hey Mishnah Base. We'd continue to discuss the damages of Shur when an animal does damage, and we know that if an animal gores and kills a person, or if he kills a person in any way, then that animal needs to be put to death. So the Mishnah tells us, Shur Shu Yitzel is Sokel. If you have an animal which is on its way out to be stoned because it killed a person, the Ikdish Ba'olav, and its owner made it Hektish. Hektish is when something belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So the owner of this animal designated that animal. He said, I'm now designating this animal to the Beis HaMikdash. That's quite clever because they're not going to kill an animal which belongs to the Beis HaMikdash because you can't do anything with an animal which belongs to the Beis HaMikdash except for use it for the Beis HaMikdash or Karbonis. However, the Mishnah tells us that Enu Mukdash does not become Hektash, and the reason for that is because it's no longer considered his. As soon as the sentence has been passed to kill this animal, it becomes no longer owned by anyone. And you can't make something which doesn't belong to you Hektash. Furthermore, Shechotai, if the owner comes to the animal after its sentence has been passed to be killed, it comes to the animal and shechts it. The Mishnah tells us with Sora Osir, its meat is forbidden to eat or even benefit from. The reason for this is because the Pasuk, when it describes the sentence, the punishment for an animal which kills a person, it says, Sokol Yisokel Hashem, the animal will be killed, and its meat cannot be eaten. So the question is, why does the Torah even have to tell us that you can't eat the meat? Any animal which is stoned hasn't had a proper shechita, and therefore it's obviously not, you're not allowed to eat any animal which hasn't been shechted. If it was killed in any other way, you can't eat it. So why does the Torah have to tell us you can't eat it? The answer is, it must be saying you can't eat it even before it's dead, i.e. once its sentence to be killed has been passed, even though it has not yet been killed, already from then you cannot eat or even benefit from the meat. However, if the owner makes it a hekdesh before the sentence has been passed, then even though it deserves that punishment because it has killed a person, it still belongs to the owner before it's got the sentence to be put to death, and therefore mukdash, the hekdesh would work. However, we can't now allow the animal or the owner to get off scot-free, and therefore the Beis Din would actually force the owner to redeem that animal onto money and then pay that money to the Beis HaMikdash, and then they would kill the animal. So it's actually worse off for you if you make the animal hekdesh. And if you do shech the animal instead of making it, this you shecht it, in this case Sara Mutter, the meat would be permitted for one to eat because its sentence has not yet been passed. Mission test. As we've mentioned previously, the obligation to pay for damages caused by your animal is based on the fact that you need to watch over your animal, and therefore, what happens if you give over your animal to a guard who you're not going to pay? You tell him, hey, it's a normal person, you tell him, hey, I'm giving it to you, look over my animal, or someone borrows it, or you pay someone to watch over it, or someone pays you to use it, he rents your animal. In all these cases, these people would come instead of the actual owners, and now these people are obligated if the animal causes any damage, they'll have to pay more from Nazik Sholim. If the animal is a mord and it gores, then the shoyel, for example, the borrower, or whoever is watching over it, he'll have to pay for the full damages of a tam. If the animal is a tam, meaning it hasn't gored before, then Misham Chatzin Nezek, the person who's watching over it, will have to pay it for half the damage, as we've described before. And again, the reason for this is because once they're now watching over it, that's where the whole obligation for paying for the damages stems from. And therefore, since they're now the watchers, they're the ones obligated to pay for the damages. The Mishnah is now going to bring three opinions for what level of watching is enough, meaning how much do you have to do to prevent an animal from damaging, so that if you do enough watching and all you can do, then you won't be obligated to pay the damages. So according to the first opinion, Kshoro Bailav B'Meseira, if the owner of the animal, or it could even be the watcher, whoever's in charge of watching over it, they tie the animal by its lead, or the Nofal B'Fon of Karo'i, they lock the door in front of it properly, and this is referring to not own very strong wall or door, but something which could stand in a normal wind. If a normal wind came, the door could stand. These types of watching and guarding over it are considered a prevention of damage, but not a high prevention, meaning it's sort of level one of stopping it doing damage, but it's still possible for this animal to, for example, break the lead, or a strong wind could come and break the door. So this is a lower level of guarding, and therefore, according to the first opinion, Vyotz of Hizik, if the animal does go out and end up damaging, then Echot Tam Vechamod, whether it be a Tam or a Mord, Chayev, the owner will be obligated to pay for the damages, and of course, if it's a Tam, only half the damages. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who holds that since it wasn't a proper prevention of damages, he didn't do all he could do, and therefore, he'll be obligated to pay for the damages. Rabbi Huda says, the second opinion, Tam Chayev. An animal which is a Tam will be obligated, the owner will be obligated to pay for half the damages, and in fact, this also includes a Mord. If the animal was a Mord, then you'll have to pay for half the damages, whereas usually a Mord, you'll have to pay for the full damages. We look at all animals as a Tam. However, Mord Potter, the extra amount, listen carefully, the extra amount of a muad, meaning the second half of the damages, for that the owner is exempt. However, you're not entirely exempt for being a Mu'ad, because obviously a Mu'ad can't be more lenient than a Tam. And therefore, whether you're a Tam, whether you're a Mu'ad, you'll have to pay for half the damages. But according to Rabbi Yehuda is more lenient than Rabbi Meir, and he holds that if it's a Mu'ad, you don't have to pay for the full damage. Why? Shanem, as the Pasuk says, V'lo yishmerenu be'olof, and the owner did not guard it. Meaning, the Pasuk says, if the owner doesn't guard the animal properly, this is talking about a Mu'ad animal, then he'll have to pay. Which implies that if he does guard it, then he'll be exempt, even if he guards it a little bit. So the Torah says if he doesn't guard it at all, then he's chayev. So if he does guard it even a little bit, then that already goes out of that category, and therefore he will not be obligated to pay for the full damage, only half of the damage. For Shomer Huzer, this animal is guarded, even though it's only a little bit guarded, it is considered guarded, and therefore he'll only have to pay for half the damages. Third opinion, Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Ein lo shemiro elo sakin. The only way of guarding an animal is with a knife, meaning by killing the animal. The only way to completely stop an animal doing damage is by killing it. And what this means is that Rabbi Eliezer holds, however much you guard the animal, even if you really do whatever you can, if it does end up going and damaging, you're still responsible, and therefore you will have to pay for half or for the whole damages, depending on whether it's a tam or a mu'ad. So again, just to summarize, we've got Rabbi Meir holds, if you do a low level of guarding, then you're obligated to pay for the damages. If it's a high level, then you won't. Rabbi Yehuda also holds, if it's a high level, then you don't pay the damages. But he also holds that if it's a lower level of guarding, you're only chayv for a tam to pay for half the damages, but you'll never be chayv to pay for the whole damage. And of course, Rabbi Eliezer holds that even if you do the best guarding, you'll still be chayv to pay for whatever damage you do. Perek Hey, there is a machlokes, a fundamental machlokes between Sumchus, who is a Talmud of Rabbi Meir, who's a certain Tana, and the Chachomim. There's a famous rule in Shas, which is Hamitzi Mechaveir Olav Haraya, that if I am trying to take something from you, let's say I claim that you owe me money, I can only take that money if I prove that I'm entitled to that money. So in the case of damages, if you damage me, I can only collect money if I have proof that you did the damage. For example, witnesses. However, this is only the opinion of the Chachomim. Sumchus, on the other hand, holds that Momoin Hamutol B'Sofik Cholkim. Money which is in a state of doubt as to who it should go to. We don't say that whoever has it right now keeps it unless there's proof. We say that you split it, and therefore, if an animal gores a cow and it kills it, let's just remind ourselves, if it's a mu'ad, then the owner of the animal who killed the other animal pays for the full damage. If it's a tam, then the owner will have to pay for half the damage. But remember, if the animal which did the goring is worth less than half the damage, then the owner doesn't pay more than that. He only pays the value of his animal, maximum. So, shoshnog sapara, if an animal gores, an ox gores a cow and it kills it, the cow's fetus, the child which was in the cow's womb, is found on the side of the animal, also dead. It's unknown whether the animal was born before the goring happened, or whether the animal was born after the goring, meaning the goring caused the animal to be born. So what's the difference? Because if the fetus was still in the womb when the goring happened, that means that the ox also gored the fetus, and therefore will be obligated to pay for the fetus as well. So according to the Chachomim, firstly, everyone agrees that you'll have to pay for the mother cow. The question is, what about the baby cow? According to the Chachomim, you have no proof, and therefore you won't need to pay him, because he has no proof that you owe him the money. According to Sumchus, you have to split the money, and therefore, Mishlam Chazan is a Glapora, everyone agrees that you pay half the damage done to the cow, assuming it's a tam. Now, how much of the damage done to the fetus will you have to pay? If we know is the fact that you killed it, and your animal is a tam, then you'll also have to pay for half the damage of the baby cow. But since we're splitting it, so you give half the amount that you would have to give. So let's say the whole fetus is worth 100 zuz. So if we know that you gored it, you have to pay 50 zuz. And if you didn't gore it, then you have to pay 0 zuz. So what do? You give 25 zuz, which is revia nezek levolod, a quarter of the damage done to the baby cow. And that's considered splitting the money. And again, that represents Sumchus's opinion, because the Chachom was holding you don't have to give anything for the baby cow, because there's no proof that it was part of the mother when the mother was gored. V'chein, similarly, if a cow this time gores an ox, and the cow's child is found next to the cow, and the child is also alive, like the cow is, we don't know if the cow which did the goring gave birth before it gored or after it gored. So remember, when it comes to an animal which is a tam, you pay from the animal itself, meaning we look at the value of the animal which did the goring. Because if it's worth less than half the damage, then that's the maximum you pay. So here, we're not sure whether you include the child in that value. So according to the Chachomim, where we say, there's no proof that he owes the money, and therefore you would not include it in the money. You'd only pay him the lesser amount. But according to Sumchus, you split it, and therefore, you pay for the half damage from the cow, meaning up to half the damage, but if the cow is worth less, then you only pay the value of the cow. And a quarter of the damage from the baby cow, which again is like paying for half of it. It's like splitting the money. Mishnah Beis, Hakador, someone who makes pottery and sells pottery. Shehichnis k'dayos alechatz balbayis, who brought his pottery into the courtyard of someone who owns a house, someone else's courtyard, shalobrishos, without permission. V'shibarosan behemnish balbayis, and then the owner of that courtyard and house goes out into the courtyard and breaks the pottery. Potter, the owner of the house, the owner of the animal, will be exempt from paying for the pottery, because that person was not allowed to bring his pottery into the house at all. So it's his fault. And furthermore, if the animal of the balabayas, the person who owns the house, if his animal gets injured from the pottery, let's say it smashes and he walks on it, then the owner of the pottery will be obligated to pay for the animal's damage, because he wasn't allowed to bring those things into the courtyard. However, if he brought the pottery into the courtyard with permission, balabayas allowed him to do it, then the owner of the house and courtyard is obligated to pay for the damage. Because by allowing him to bring his stuff into there, he's also accepting upon himself to watch over it, and therefore he's obligated to pay for the damages. Similarly, if someone brings his produce into the courtyard of a balabais, someone who owns a house, without permission, and then balabais's animal eats the fruit, or eats the produce, potter, the balabais is potter, because the owner of the produce was not allowed to bring his stuff into there. If the animal gets injured, we're talking about a case where he gets injured by slipping on the fruit, not if he eats the fruit. If he eats the fruit, and let's say he eats so many that he dies, then the balabais will be chayev, because he should have watched over his animal to some extent. But if, let's say, he slips on them, in that case, balapeyos chayev, the owner of the fruit, of the produce, will be obligated to pay for the damage done to the animal. However, if the person who owns the produce brought the produce into the courtyard with the permission of the balabais, then the balachotzer, the owner of the courtyard and house, is obligated to pay for any damage done, because by allowing it to come into his courtyard, he's also accepting upon himself to watch over them.